With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, and we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to just review a little bit on righteousness and make a transition into what I feel God is calling us to next. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Everybody say righteousness. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to work out our salvation with what? Anybody know? Fear and trembling. Not the type of fear that the world has, fear of punishment or fear of loss, but more of a reverence unto God. Amen. And the whole principle behind teaching righteousness is to create that image inside of you of not who you are going to become, but who you are. And I think that we're missing something in the body of Christ. We're missing it terribly in the United States. And we're missing that born-again experience where people are radically changed. Can you say amen? Now, everybody say, I got my truth ears on tonight. Now, I got to be careful. I don't really want to be careful, but I have to be careful. Because really, we're missing that radically changed life in the believer when they come and they accept Jesus because of us. Because we choose to take the righteousness of God, but we don't live it. In a reverence. You know, there's a respect that you should have for somebody who's in office. Whether they're a governor or a president or a senator. Pastor Nijah and I, when we dated, when we first started dating, you know, we decided, we did it in groups. And I remember the first date we went out on by ourselves. And I was taking her to a pizza place. And I was on a very high protein diet at the time. And I'm on a very high protein diet right now. So you might want to keep your distance, if you know what I mean. That's what this little illustration is about. So when I'm on a high protein diet, my insides produce a little extra gas. Praise the Lord. Now I wanted to impress Pastor Nijah, and she seemed a little bit gullible, but I found out she's not gullible. She just chooses to look. She looks beyond certain things. She acts like she doesn't hear certain things. You know, she won't bring herself down to a level of common in a lot of ways. And so when I was on a high protein diet. We're on our first date, and I had to pass some gas. Anybody ever been there before? Are you around somebody you want to impress, and all of a sudden there's a stirring down below. Deep is calling to deep. Do you know what I'm talking about? And that's why those old preachers, they yell, fire! Because when they're yelling fire, they're releasing some of that. Okay. So I said to Pastor Nijah, do you hear that? And she said, what? I said, I think I have a low tire. And so I pulled alongside the road, and I walked around the car long enough to let the noxious stuff escape. And long enough to be sure it wasn't trailing me, and got back in the car. The third time I said, I think I have a low tire, she said she didn't want to say anything, this was later, but she was suspecting something else was up. And when you're in the presence of somebody who deserves honor, or you're trying to impress in a worldly way, there are things you don't do. You just don't release your bodily function. You just restrain yourself, right? In righteousness, there's a danger that you could become so familiar with God, you don't reverence Him any longer. See, anymore, if I have some of that noxious gas, I not only let it go, but I wave the blankets like this to get a reaction. Has anybody ever done that before? Come on, say amen if you have. Yeah, Pastor Nija told me she never passed gas until after we got married. She said she said not once. She says never. She was serious. I mean, I really got to thinking. So I looked on the internet. Is it possible that somebody never? But it wasn't. I found that out real soon after we got married. Praise the Lord. In God's presence, there should be a respect and an honor that we restrain ourselves. Yes. He knows every single bit of you. He knows what you're going to pray before you pray. But He could become so common that we lose respect for Him and we act like we can. You understand that sin, listen, the Lord gave me this, and I'm going to try and say it the way that, because He doesn't always speak English, you know, to us. Very rarely does He speak English to us. He usually speaks to us in impressions in our spirits. Now, Jesus died for every sin you'll ever commit. But He did not die so you can keep sinning. He didn't pay. He paid for every sin you'll ever commit. But He didn't pay for your future sinning. Did you hear me? The price has been paid for all of your sin. But He didn't give you it's not a get out of jail free card. It's not a you can act any old way card. We are to be holy because God is holy. And the more you know about God, the more holy you want to be. And you find out that your holiness has to do with your relationship with Him. And if you choose to look at God as your buddy, there is a truth. He is one who will never leave you nor forsake you. He is your buddy. He's your confidant. But He's also to be honored. Amen? So what I'm saying is this, that we have lost in the body of Christ that miraculous, just turn around and born again transformation. And it's because of us. And so we're going to make a transition in the next couple weeks about having an attitude and a spirit of excellence. And you always start by teaching the God side on any subject. And then once people finally get a hold of the God side and they begin to transform their mind according to, you know, the way that God has presented it and the way that God is, then we talk about the difficult side. And this is where people get religious, when we talk about the man's side or your response to what God has done. And we just were talking about righteousness, and let's go into 1 Corinthians, and we're going to take off from there. Yes, ma'am? 2 Corinthians, you're absolutely right. And we're going to begin in verse 15. Praise the Lord. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. Now guys, chapter 5, I'm sorry. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. And what does it say in 1 Peter 2:24? That on the cross He bore your sins in His body so you could die to sin and begin to live unto righteousness. So you're no longer, Paul says, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And Jesus said, it's not me doing the works, but it's the Father doing the works in me or through me. And so we have been made the right, we're going to read on, but we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ for a purpose. So that we no longer have to live for ourselves, and we accept that God knows the desires of our heart. We accept that God gives us the things that pleases us. We accept by faith that He has created and given us all things for life, happiness, and godliness. Those are all in Christ. And so we die to the desires of our flesh. And just because you're born again doesn't mean you don't have desires in your flesh. But you don't kill the desires in your flesh. You allow them to be governed by God's law and God's Spirit. And God's Spirit and God's law are the same. I'm not talking the old covenant. I'm talking the law of Spirit and life and love, which fulfills the old covenant. Okay? Praise the Lord. You guys are looking at me cross-eyed, but that's okay. That's why I took my glasses off. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Okay, you're not the guy who continually has problems with anger. You're not the gal who always has problems with drugs. You're no longer that person. I don't view you that way. I view you as a new person in Christ. The past is gone. You're not subject to or governed by what happened to you in the past or what you did in the past. You are not. Your future is not governed by how many times you failed in the past. I don't look at you that way any longer. And here's how it says that we are to look at each other. We like to use this scripture for ourselves, but it's really in context for other people. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone. The new is here. That is righteousness. You're new on the inside. I'll share something with you that... You see, the God side is He made you righteous. That's the spiritual side. But now we're to produce the fruit of righteousness. And we're to increase the harvest of righteousness. Okay? That's Christ living through us. That there is a divine difference between you and somebody with discipline. Can I say that again? There should be a divine difference between you and somebody with discipline. In every area of your life, and that's where excellence comes in. Because everything that God does is excellent. And everything that God starts, Jesus finishes how? Excellently and well. He knows the end from the beginning because He finished it. And as we let Christ live in us and through us, we produce excellence, which is a fruit or the major manifestation of God or Christ in you. Because we can all be successful in the world's eyes through discipline. There has to be a manifestation of Christ in us and through us. And that is the definition of excellence. But you can't live unto Christ and produce excellence in your life if you see yourself as being subject to your past. If you see yourself as being born on the wrong side of the tracks, you see yourself as the little kid who was abused, you see yourself as the person who couldn't graduate high school, you see yourself as a person born with the wrong last name or the wrong color or the wrong kind of hair, whatever it is, if you see yourself as being subject to the past, you're not seeing yourself as new in Christ. And that is righteousness. And the truth is, we don't live trying to be holy to attain righteousness. We've already have been made that. But you won't manifest Christ. In other words, Christ won't be seen in you by common everyday people. The divine difference between you and the world should be Christ in you. It should be something tangible. You look different. Come on, you smell different. You age different. You act different. We're no longer of the world, are we? So why do we want to act like we're of the world? Come on. And I'm not talking about piercing your ears or having tattoos. We're talking about a difference that you see there's something about you that the most successful people in the world don't have. It's not money. It's Christ. And guys, I'll tell you, I just really want to speak from my heart. It is not a matter of producing finances or businesses or being incredibly good with people. It is a matter that people look at you and they say, there is something on you that is uncommon and it's not natural. It's supernatural. You go through the same thing that everybody else does, and it doesn't seem to affect you. There is something, not that you save something up, but there's something flowing through you. That source is not natural, it's eternal. I'm trying to put this in biblical terms, but in a way that maybe we haven't understood it before. Man, God will get, if he can get the flow of the Holy Spirit through you, He'll increase it. If He can get the flow of finances through you, He'll increase it. Whether it be stuff, properties, guys, listen, or flesh with submitted spirits, servants of the Most High God. If you'll let them go, He'll bring them to you. There's got to be a flow. All right. So we no longer look at each other. And yes, there is a truth. You have to love yourself before you can love somebody else. But you know, if you are judging somebody else by they keep doing this over and over again, that's their pattern. That's their DNA. That's their MO. Guess what? I know that's the way you're judging yourself. But you can change the way that you judge yourself by the way that you judge other people. You choose not to judge people in a certain way, you'll find yourself beginning to loosen the legality or the rulishness, if that's a word, the rulishness that you hold yourself to. Come on. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Right there in your Bibles, I'd like you to put a note. This means somebody else. Of course it applies to you, but we no longer look at people from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, a new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He committed to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So there's a God side and there's a man side. And if you read the book of Corinthians here first and second, he keeps talking about the kind of conduct that the church is involved in. That's where people get religious. That's where people get offended. But come on, we're to be different. And everybody in the body of Christ is at a different stage. It's not a matter of arriving, it's a matter of continuing. Being transformed into the image of Christ. Praise the Lord. Now God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Now it needs to take hold, and then things around you start to change. I was with a brother in the Lord not too long ago, and we were downtown. And praise the Lord. Some people just can't get free of certain things. Now he had just went through, now listen guys, within 6 months he had just went through his sixth divorce. Everybody say six.
Six.
Now that's man's number. And naturally, you know, this guy's going to think, well, seven is God's number, praise the Lord. Now God forgives the sin of divorce, but that doesn't mean He gives you the freedom to go and sin. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There is no sin that God won't forgive, but he's not going to say, now you don't, the law of marriage doesn't apply to you any longer. Yes, it does. It's still a sin, and it's a grievous one to God. But now listen, so he says he's been divorced now 6 months from his sixth wife. And the last conversation I have with the guy, I'm trying to help you, and I'm sorry if he hears this message. But the last time I talked to him, and he said that he was dealing with God and God was dealing with him, and he was becoming a holy vessel, and praise the Lord, Jesus was his bride, you know. And then he tells me he was on this Christian dating site. And I says to myself, Isabel, because I like to call myself Isabel. No, that's just something off an old TV show. I said to myself, well, hold on. If he's single and he's on a Christian dating site, something's not lining up here. His confession and what he's doing aren't lining up. And he said the Holy Ghost told him to get off that Christian dating site. So a little banner inside of me goes, yeah, praise the Lord, victory. He's listening to the Holy Ghost. And he said, but God slipped one in right underneath the wire. And I met this gal from a southern state. And we've been talking online. And he said, I think she's the one. Does it take a genius to tell you where I'm going with this? He said, now what do you think? I was waiting for that. I said, praise the Lord. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus, but we have to renew our mind. And there's a transformation that takes some time. And if you go into a relationship the way that you ended the last one, guess what? You're carrying that last relationship into the new one. How many of this is this hitting home? You got to understand what I'm trying to say. The way you leave one job is the way you enter the new job. If you leave the old job in strife and in dishonor and gossiping and murmuring about the employer, guess what? That's the way you're entering the new one. Unless something happens in the middle. The way you leave one church, hello, is the way you enter into another, unless you have a God kind of transformation in between. So if you left one church in strife and you come into the other, unless God has done a work in you, you're coming into the new church in strife. And guess what? Within 18 months to 2 years, you're going to have the same problems with the leadership of the new church that you did the old one, because God hasn't done a transformation in your heart. You've been made new in your spirit, but your heart is still the same. And your mind needs to be transformed. Where you take every thought captive according to Christ and the Word of God. Okay, you with me?
Yeah.
So I said to this guy, praise the Lord, but there is a transformation that needs to take place. And I said, he asked me what I thought. I said, I would table this relationship and see if you feel the same way in 6 months. This guy was going to sell his business and move to this southern state to get to know this gal and marry her because God slipped one in underneath the wire on him, is what he said. And do you know what he did? I'm serious. We're out downtown. And he jumps up on a concrete barrier and he says, how dare you? I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creature. God's not holding my past against you. You religious people always do this. And I took him downtown in my car. And he walked away. And so like a good pastor, I sat there for 5 minutes, waiting for him to come back. Sat there for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, to finally get in my car, and I drive around. I can't find this guy nowhere. Haven't talked to him since. I think he's in a southern state. He is a new creation in Christ. Yes, God is not counting his sins against him. But if he carries his sinful way of thinking about relationships into a new one, he's got the same problem. Mm-hmm. Come on. Different face, different name, same problem. Am I talking to anybody? See, Isabel will go round and round that mountain. Same mountain. And every time she gets to the north side, she's going to think it's a different mountain. She gets to the south side, it's a different mountain. No, she's on the same track, going round and round. She needs to get off that track and let God do a transformation, come on, to where we are radically saved. And the way that we think and the way that we talk and the way that we act, come on, is according to Christ, the anointing, the one that abides within us. If you don't, here's what will happen, guys. It doesn't matter if you... Has anybody heard of Theophostics? Everybody, raise your hand if you heard of Theophostics. Okay, they call it the Father in me ministry. Okay. Theo is God, and phostix means light, and so it's God's light. And there is power in this now, where you bring somebody back to... Now, I'm not saying pastor preaches this or practices this, but you bring somebody back to a place in their life where the damage was done, whether it's in an argument, in a fight, or abuse. And you allow the Holy Ghost, the light of God, to come in, and you bring them into the presence of the Father, and you say, now what is God speaking to you? And literally there is an opportunity for the light of God to bring that old memory and that old way of thinking into a God kind of way of thinking. I followed ministries that were doing this, praise the Lord, and you know what? They get delivered for about 6 months to 8 months. And if they're really disciplined, a year. But if you don't take somebody through a discipline, everybody say discipline, being discipled and allowing them to walk with you and you with them to where they see God in your life, and they begin to transform their, not just the way they act, but the way they think. That same problem exists, guys. Does anybody know what a rut is on a dirt road? I used to love to take my 4x4 out on dirt roads, you know, get a little bit muddy. Or the first snow on a dirt road, you know, you're cutting the path on the dirt road. I just love that. But you know, if you live on a gravel road or a dirt road, after you go down that road, if it didn't get plowed, then what happens to the snow, what happens to the mud, is it gets a rut in it. And pretty soon, you could be driving down that road and you could let go of the steering wheel. And wherever the ruts are, that's where you're going to go. Guys, the way that we have made the choice to behave in relationships, in our submission to the local church government, in our submission to the government that God establishes in the earth through the city and the state. And come on, those relationships, the way that we have acted over a period of years, whether it be 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, the deeper the ruts. And you can pull all you want with power steering, and that rut is going to eventually take you into the ditch. The current of life that you created. The current of your life that you created. So we need to transform. Do you know what a grave is? Or what a rut is? It's what a rut is. It's a grave with both ends knocked out, right? Yeah, it'll just lead you right to death. Our behavior. Everybody say behavior. Our conduct. Come on, our conduct. Our habits. Come on. They'll take you unless you allow your habits, your conduct to be transformed or governed by Christ. I'm not talking about the person. I am talking about the Holy Spirit. Who is a person? The Holy Spirit that lives in you guides you and directs you, and you can't keep overriding the Holy Ghost, because what you're doing is you're digging the rut just a little bit deeper. And when you lack the muscle or the strength to pull, come on, to keep pulling that steering wheel, to keep pulling it against that rut, when you get weak, what's going to happen to you? That rut's going to take you. Where's the rut at? Is it in your flesh? Uh-uh. Your flesh is the wheel. Does everybody squeeze your flesh? Your flesh is the tire. Your flesh is the tire. The rut is in your mind. The rut is a way that you choose to think, a way that you comfortably respond to situations. I have a friend that his way of responding to situations that he's not comfortable in, he acts dumb. He'll go, now, whoa, wait. That's his comfortable reaction. He knows that. He's familiar with that. He trusts that. What were to happen to that friend of mine if he were to exchange the protection mechanism of being slow? Because he's not. for Christ. It'll be uncomfortable because he's not sure how it's going to work out, but it'll work out every single time. Am I helping anybody? If we don't allow ourselves to be changed by the image of Christ, righteousness, the picture of righteousness, come on. And I'm not talking just Sunday morning, Wednesday night. I'm talking about throughout the day. No man can tame the what? No man can tame the tongue. But the Son of God can by the Holy Ghost. If you let Jesus let Jesus take the wheel. You ever heard this song? If you literally let Jesus take the wheel of your life, you do that according to the Word of God, which tells your mind how to think, and you do it according to Christ, which is a spiritual power, a supernatural power that should govern your mind and your body. Okay, praise the Lord. That is good preaching and is good teaching. So therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old is gone and the new is here. What caused somebody 25 years ago to be miraculously saved and transformed? The same thing that will cause it today is that we yield ourselves to the Word and we yield ourselves to the anointing. Now there is a point when you're at that altar, guys, that you give everything. But you know, it may take a week, it may take 2 weeks, it may take a month, it may take 6 months, but the devil is going to throw the same temptation back up at you so that you will find out whether or not the transformation is for real. And God will never allow you to be tempted beyond that you can handle or bear. And God always, the Bible says, provides a means or a way of what? Escape. And no one, according to the book of James, could ever say that God is tempting you. But God won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. You guys, if you've been born again, you have the ability to withstand the temptation of sin. Do you want to know when sin is born? It's born in your heart through desire. And when you pick the thing up and play with it, come on, it's going to give birth to sin and sin to death. When does it produce death in you? A separation from God. When does that separation, that little distance from you and God begin? It begins when you play with it in your mind. When you don't allow your thought to be taken captive according to the anointing that's in you. And you start to play with it and you begin to say no to Christ, the anointing in you, and you say yes to the thought. Whether it's the thought of, I am going to do this, I'm going to participate in this, I'm going to think out the pleasure that I would get with this, or whether it's a thought that you're no good and you'll never succeed. Come on. And if you allow that to take root inside of you, guys, you're denying Christ, you're denying His ability, and you're changing your perception of Christ in you, righteousness, and you distance yourself. And when that thing is fully taken hold, guess what you're going to do? Your thoughts are going to produce a confession, and your confessions are going to produce an action. The number one way that I think ministers and men of God and women of God fall into temptation is they'll start to use humor to express something they should not. And they laugh about it and they get comfortable with it. That's a dangerous place to be in any type of sin. To be entertained by sin. If you're entertained by sin, guys, you're going to drop your guard. You'll pick the thing up and you won't be living a holy life. Holiness does not affect your relationship with God on His side, but it affects it on your side, where you'll distance yourself from Him. So what am I saying? I'm saying, yes, you've been made righteous. Yes, you've been made holy. Now live like it. Let Christ be in you on Thursday night and Friday night and Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. Come on. Let Him be glorified in you. That you're dead to your flesh, but you're alive to Christ. And it's obvious because it's not you. I mean, it's not your strength. It's something that is supernatural that's so obvious that even the unbeliever takes note and he says, there's something different about that person. And guys, according to this ministry, in this campus, we have lost and are regaining the spirit of excellence. And excellence doesn't mean that you do everything as good as the world does it. We should do it better. But that doesn't mean you have to have, you just excellent with what you have. Come on. Whether or not you wash that greasy hair of yours or you get rid of the nappiness in the morning, listen, it doesn't matter what you have, it's how you take care of it. Come on. Whether it's your personal self, your vehicle, whatever God gives you, we do everything as unto the Lord. Everything. 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 As unto the Lord. When the children of Israel went into the land that they were promised, God said, I'm not going to give it to you all at once. Why? Because it'll overtake you. Isn't that what He said? And we may have allowed, because, praise the Lord, people need to take their place in the ministry. Now, we're doing a lot. We're not doing near what we should be doing, but people need to take their place. Because some of us didn't even realize it, but we were getting tired. What you see in the natural is always an expression of what's taking place in the spiritual person. And yes, we're still bringing life to this area that was dead. And Pastor Josh and I have been focusing on the parsonage. Pastor Nija and the staff has been focusing on the administration building. We're about ready to switch gears once we get that completed so that we can get the roof on this and complete it. Now, that's just an expression of what's taking place on the inside of us. It's got to be a flow of excellence, a spirit of excellence. And I know that you guys have it because you're here. And as we allow it to flow through us, everything around us will be transformed. Am I right?
Yes.
I think it's Isaiah chapter 60. It talks about, or is it Isaiah 50? It talks about the river of life that flows out of the throne of God. And it goes into the dead sea of humanity. And the Word of God says that everywhere that this living water went into the dead sea, everybody say dead sea, that it teemed with life, that life was overflowing. In other words, this fresh water was coming into a salty dead pool. And wherever the fresh water flowed, there was life in that dead pool. Guys, that's what we're doing here in the center of the United States that is a dead pool. And I hate to say it, but most of the church is just on life support. Come on. If I could just believe God to get my mortgage payment this month, that's life support thinking. If I can just believe God to get new clothes for the kids, you're on life support. If I can just use my faith to get that next deal, you're on life support. Just wait till that contract is signed and I've sold this or bartered that, you're on life support. God knows what you have need of even before you pray. Your faith shouldn't be for you, it's for somebody else. You're supposed to have enough of the life of God flowing in you that it's taking care of your own needs and somebody else's. We've majored on faith for ourselves. And faith isn't for ourselves because God takes care of ourselves. He does now. And Caleb's a smart little boy. Caleb, you know, how old is he? Nine, eight, nine, somewhere. One of the multitude. And he says to me last night, just as honest and as open as can be. He says, so how do you and mom get money? Does God just put money in your pockets? And I said, yeah, sometimes, Caleb. He said, well, how does it work? How do you guys buy things? And I said, it's different all the time. I just trust him. I'm serious. I said, Caleb said, no, really. Is there really sometimes just money in your pocket? I said, yes. I said, sometimes somebody will give us a check. Sometimes out of the blue, this will come. Sometimes we'll have a refund check. I said, it's amazing what God does. Because those kids don't lack anything. And listen, if I were on life support, then I would just believe God to pay my rent and to put gas in our tank. But the faith that you guys are combined with, Pastor Josh and Cherry and me and Pastor Nijia and staff, and you guys are all involved. Listen, we are producing enough to not only feed, I don't know, 15 to 20 families a week that come, but to minister internationally, which we are still doing constantly, people contacting us, and restoring a campus, bringing life where there is death. And that does not come with a free price ticket. As Tammy and Cherry were up doing the books, I just was reminded, I am just amazed at how God brings money to the ministry. But I'm not believing for myself, but God takes care of myself and my family. Now let's talk about righteousness. I believe I am the righteousness of God in Christ, and I believe you are too. From that position, I can start to live from in excellence. Can't I? But if I think I'm dirty, squirmy, rotten to the core, never going to break out of this habit or that habit, I just have to accept this about my flesh or about my DNA or about my family history or my education, whatever it is, then I can't be what he's called me to be in Christ, which is first righteous and holy, and then to be a flow. Flo always called herself Isabel. It's an old TV show. I'm to be a flow of God's goodness, of God's grace, of God's protection, of God's wisdom. Come on. I can't do that if I don't see myself as righteous. So it's foundational, but it comes with an expectation. Everybody say expectation. I made the righteousness of God in Christ, and so are you, but it comes with an expectation that you live like you're the righteousness of God in Christ. And I'm not talking about rules like how short your skirt is or how much makeup you wear or those kind of things. I'm talking about you living according to Christ. And you know what? We are to train ourselves between good and evil. That's what the Bible says. We're to train ourselves in holiness. It says that in the Old and the New Testament. So just because you're born again doesn't mean your brain knows what's right and what's wrong. Because your flesh certainly does not have an intellect. Your mind needs to be reigned or governed in by the anointing, and you need to become familiar with the Word. To where, guys, listen, if you read the King James, then your vocabulary should start sounding King Jamesy. If you read the Living Bible, then your vocabulary should start sounding that way. Because God's language should be more important to you than your language. Am I helping you there? Now, I think God can anoint the good news to modern... I know He can. Good news to modern men just as much as He can the NIRV, which is written at a third grade level. Now, some of you guys, and even I read the NIRV, guys, sometimes. Why? Because I need it simple. I'm not talking about the vowel and the consonant and all those... I'm looking for what the Word of God brings about in the mind of Christ. And that creates a clear picture of righteousness. That it's like a... Have you ever come out of the shower and you go to shave ladies, pluck your eyebrows, or you do both if you're me, because I would have one eyebrow if I didn't pluck, Mr. Unibrow, and I'm not embarrassed to say that. But I've come out of the shower sometimes and I have to wipe off the mirror. You ever had to do that? Why? Because, you know, there's so much humidity in the room that the mirror begins to condensate. Not conversate, condensate. Yeah, is that right? Sound like I was talking down to you, condensate. I'm conversating, condensating. No, but you wipe off the mirror. And what happens if there isn't an incredible amount of fresh air that comes in the room suddenly? What do you have to do if you're going to keep shaving or plucking? You have to do what to the mirror again? You have to wipe it again. That's what we do because, listen, that humidity that causes the mirror to condensate is the world and its system, and you live in it. We come in here and we get a breath of fresh air that clears the glass so we could look at our image into the Word, into Christ, and we see ourselves as we are. But you get out in the world, listen, by the time you're out in the world, 6 p.m. on Sunday, if you don't come back to church or we don't have a gathering together, you need to get in the Word and wipe off the mirror again. So you can see yourself according to the Word, the clear image of who you are in Christ. And what will that do? You know, the way that you view yourself in the mirror every morning is going to have everything to do with how you conduct yourself throughout the day. If you think, oh my, I am looking old. I'm looking weak. I don't have anything else to look forward to because it's just going to, everything that's supposed to be north keeps going south. Then I'm going to carry myself that way throughout the day. And instead of having guys' shoulders back like this, I'm going to start going like this. Well, no, now you're just talking religion. No, I'm talking an expression of your faith. Because everything that we do in the physical is a manifestation of what we are in the spiritual. Or should I better say it this way? Everything that we do in the physical manifests or displays how we perceive ourselves spiritually. So excellence is a byproduct of the way that you see yourself in Christ. So as we make the transition, we're never going to leave the message of righteousness because we need to refresh ourselves in that constantly. But that will only carry you so far. Zig Ziglar was famous for saying, people say that motivation doesn't work. And he would say, you could say the same thing about a bath. That's why we do it over and over again. Because just because you took a bath on Sunday doesn't mean you smell good on Thursday. It's something that you have to continually do. And the way that you see yourself in Christ being righteous, listen, you can't just come on Sunday and just clear off that mirror or take a bath because by Tuesday you're going to start smelling like the world again. Because you're in the world, but you're not of it. You're subject to the world, but you're not to be governed by it. And how you're governed has to do with how you perceive yourself and your relationship with God. If you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, hey, He's not counting your sin against you. So what do? Keep sinning? No! You focus on He sees you as you have no sin. And what happens? All of a sudden, it starts to be easier to live the way you know God is pleased with. And if you have a question in your heart whether or not God is pleased with it, I'll give you a very simple answer. Stop doing it until you know He is. Because anything that's not done in faith is sin. If you doubt whether or not God's good with it, don't do it. And for you, it could be eating pork. For me, it could be eating cheese. A lot of cheese. Because God likes a little bit of cheese. I know He does. He likes everything in moderation. Praise the Lord. I'm just thinking about cheese. Jalapeno cheese. Smoked cheddar cheese. Mmm. What are you doing? I'm picking it up and play with it. I'm playing with it. That's how sin takes root. Even though it's not really cheese Velveeta. Man, I could just chew into some Velveeta. There's American slices of cheese that come pre-sliced. I don't just want one of them. I want to get four of them. Well, maybe six. Take a big bite of that cheese, you know. I love cheese. I like Gouda cheese. I like better cheese. Gouda cheese. Better cheese. Gouda's better. I like all kinds of cheese. I like, Doug and I have been to Central America. Remember the fresh cheese in Central America? Every neighborhood has a place that makes fresh cheese. It only lasts like a week. And it's kind of crumbly, but oh man, is it good. And it melts really good on crackers. I'm telling you, I like cheese. What am I doing? I'm picking up something and I'm playing with it. Now it's becoming a part of me. And if I don't stop it, because I'm talking about it, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to go home and I'm going to get me some cheese. Sin is the same way, guys. I think God's okay with me taking, and I'm using this because it's my example, 3 to maybe 5 pieces of cheese. But now 10 or 20, not so good. It's like Pastor Nietzsche and Oreos or chocolate. You know, one piece of chocolate, but a whole box. Well, that's where our faith is at. Because, you know, according to the Old Testament, gluttony is still a sin, right? So slothfulness, laziness. And you know, the way that I see it, not living up to your fullest is a sin too. But now God's not counting it against you, but you'll count it against yourself. Because if you don't do as good as you know you can do, you are going to distance yourself from God in that area. Whether it's writing a computer program or plastering a wall or pounding a nail. Listen, if there's something on the floor, I got to pick it up. Because that's what's in me. I was just telling Pastor Josh today, boy, did I learn something about perseverance today. I was doing trim work in the parsonage. And now trim work is not really easy because you got to cut the angles just right for them to meet just right around corners. Now, the area behind the refrigerator, the first temptation was, I'm not going to do it because nobody will ever see it. Well, I overcame that and I put the first purse, there's 3 pieces to the trim that we're doing on the floor over there. There's a cap and there's a shoe base and there's the 5.5-inch molding. And I had to route. So I said, well, I'll just do the mold. I'll just do the major run down there. And then I thought, no, you know what? Somebody could see the sides. And besides, and then so I did the sides. And I thought, well, nobody's going to see that piece in the back. Yeah, but in the inside, there was an excellence saying, do everything as unto the Lord. If you're working, don't do it as if you're doing it for a man, but as you're doing it for the Lord. That's excellence. So I said, okay, and I cut the piece, and I cut it wrong, and then I put the wrong piece in, and then I cut the wrong kind of trim in. An hour later, I finally get that one piece in. I'm just about ready to slide the freezer back, because we got a refrigerator and a freezer. And I start thinking about the quarter round, the little shoe base. It's that whole process all over again, but nobody's going to see it. So why don't I just stub it on the ends and not do the back piece? You know, the same temptation, 3 times. Temptation for me. Would it be right or wrong for God? That really isn't the issue. The issue is in myself. In myself, I want to do everything as unto the Lord and do it excellently and do it well. And finish it excellently and finish it well. Because everything I do is manifesting His glory. And it doesn't matter if anybody wouldn't see it, I would know it. And every time I look at that refrigerator, I would know I made the choice to cut the corner. Get it? I made the choice, I sold myself short. Well, that shouldn't really matter. Well, it might not matter to you. But it does to me. And that's the situation, see. There was a guy named Jim, I think he's still around. His name is Jim Rohn, James Rohn. And this is back when I was pumping gas when I was a kid, 14 to 16 years old. And then I went to Hy-Vee. It's a job. But it was really good because I got to learn a lot from people. And we still had a full service back in that day. So you'd go out and you'd check somebody's tires and you'd check their oil, you'd check their fluid, you'd wash their windshield. Sometimes you'd wash their side windows, you know. And once in a while they'd give you a tip, but there absolutely wasn't any obligation because the gas price was higher at the full service than it was a self-serve. Anybody remember full service gas stations? Jim Rohn was talking about, he said, and this has to do with excellence. This has to do with having your conscience clear. Because you can't view your righteousness that has been given to you as clearly as you should if your conscience isn't clear. And everybody's conscience is different. One man can eat meat, another man can't. That's what the Word of God says. So, he said, you know what? I learned this a long time ago, just talking about motivation. He said, if I were to reach in my pocket and I was going to give the gas attendant, which I personally understood, he said, I reached in and I pulled out two quarters and there was a choice whether or not, this is back when a quarter meant something, that I was going to give him one quarter or I was going to give him two. I found that the price of giving that second quarter wasn't worth the conflict that he would have if he just gave him one. So his motto was become a two quarter person. Whenever there is a question, go higher. That's excellence. If you pull out, the pizza guy comes and you pull out, you got a $5 bill, you got a $2 bill, you got a $10 bill, and you have, am I going to give him two? Or am I going to give five? Five's not quite enough for how many pizzas I got. Two's certainly not enough. It's a stretch to give him 10. Give him 10. Become a $10 tipper on a pizza. Come on. It's not worth the little extra that you saved because you violate your conscience. And you'll have question about it later. Jesus put it this way. If somebody asks you to carry their garment, carry their armor, carry their load for 1 mile, he said, don't just go one, go two. If somebody asks you for your shirt, don't just give them your shirt, give them your jacket too. Or give them your jacket, give them your shirt too. Always go the extra mile. Always do the extra. Because that's Jesus said to do it. I see back in that day, a Roman soldier could ask you to carry his armor for 1 mile. And you had to. Whether you were a citizen or you were a slave, you had to carry it for 1 mile. And Jesus was saying, don't just carry it for 1 mile, carry it for two. You're obligated to go one. Come on, go two. See, we don't live at the level of the law. We live above the law. And Christ gives you the strength not only for the second mile, but for the first that you're obligated. Become a two-quarter person. Become a $10 tipper. Become a two-mile person. Become a t-shirt and jacket person instead of just a jacket. That's excellence. It's not worth it to walk by it and then have your conscience seared. It's not worth it to have God speaking to you or the higher part of your spirit. Listen, the higher part of your spirit, your conscience. That's the part, listen, in the anatomy of the spirit, that's the part that connects to your heart. And your heart connects to your mind. In the higher part, listen, which is you speaking with God being in you. It's your voice speaking to you. Everybody listen. That voice, it's not necessarily God's perfect will, but it's the way you're interpreting God's will. Now do the best. Go the extra mile. Give the extra quarter. Because in that, you'll begin to tap into the power of righteousness. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ living in me. I've died to sin, so I no longer have to live as a slave to sin, but now I can live unto Christ, unto the anointing, unto righteousness. Live out of it. Amen? All right, guys, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. And Father, I know you have the way to take the words that were spoken, though they aren't eloquent or highly disciplined,
You have a way of taking these words and creating a revelation that will set people free. And Father, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that the words that were spoken tonight will become spirit and they'll become a life, an anointing by which people can go farther, live stronger, with more vitality in life, so much, Father, that it manifests, it displays something unnatural in their life, something supernatural, something eternal, the hope of glory. Thank you for it. Thank you for teaching us to yield to you and to be led by your Spirit in all ways. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you need to give your life to Jesus fresh and anew, all over again, hey, I did it 4 or 5 times before it really took root. Before it really started to change me. Nobody's looking around. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but if that's you, just raise your hand so we can pray for you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Put your hand on your heart with me tonight. Say, I believe I am the righteousness of God. Jesus bore my sins. He paid the price for my sin so I could live unto righteousness. Lord, you're holy. So make me holy by the power that lives in me. Help me to be holy. I'm growing up in you quickly. Thank you, Lord, for life, the spirit of life, the spirit of love. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, I just pray it takes root. I plead the blood of Jesus over it so this word will not be stolen, that it won't be taken, and that it won't be choked, but it will produce the fruit of righteousness and the harvest they deserve according to the work that your Son has done in them. In Jesus' name. Say, I receive. Stand to your feet with me if you will, please. Praise the Lord. Thank you for pulling on that message. I believe we're going to get into a place of excellence in all of our lives. Amen.
We hope that you are blessed by the word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.